Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We had planned to talk about the role of the Girl Scouts in the 21st century in this slot, but we're going to delay that to another day because things are moving so fast in Egypt right now. Egypt's military has deployed on the streets of Cairo for the first time since anti-government protesters took up their challenge to the regime of President Hosni Mubarak 4 days ago. Now, parts of the ruling party headquarters in Cairo are going up in flames at this moment, apparently set by enraged protesters demanding the ouster of President Mubarak. And listen to this very dramatic dispatch from the AP from a short time ago. It says thousands of anti-government protesters wielding rocks, glass, and sticks actually chased hundreds of riot police away from the main square in downtown Cairo, and several of the policemen stripped off their uniforms and badges and joined the demonstrators. An Associated Press reporter saw the protesters cheering the police who joined them and hoisting them on their shoulders in one of the many dramatic and chaotic scenes across Egypt today. After chasing the police, thousands of protesters were then able to flood into the huge Tahrir Square downtown after being kept out most of the day by a very heavy police presence. Few police could be seen around the square after the confrontation. That was as of about a half hour ago. It's now this latest dispatch which says the military has been deployed on the streets of Cairo even since then. So things are moving very, very fast. And with us to try to put it in perspective are Stephen Cook, the Senior Fellow for Middle Eastern Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations, and Blake Hounshell, Managing Editor of Foreign Policy Magazine. Blake and Stephen, hello.
Hi, Brian. Hi, how are you?
Blake, do you know anything other than what I just said about the immediate situation?
I mean, I'm watching the same footage you are. I'm here in Washington and just glued to Al Jazeera, watching, you know, the party headquarters on fire, watching armored personnel tanks going into downtown Cairo. It sounded like shots were just fired recently. It's beyond anything I could have possibly imagined. And Steve, he's been there this week, so we should get some perspective from him from the ground. But I'm just stunned at what's going on. And the United States really seems like it's lost the plot and is really behind the curve on this.
Steve, where do you start?
Well, I have to tell you, this is, even having been on the ground there this week and having been in Tahrir Square on Tuesday night with the protesters, it was hard to imagine that the situation would spiral like it has now. I think the scale of what's happening today dwarfs what has happened over the course of the last 2 days, in particular Tuesday, the first day of this. And we are watching the Mubarak regime spiral out of control. It's now up to the military and the officer corps to regain control right now. What happens after that, however, should they be able to do it, is going to be an extraordinary moment in the Middle East. It was one thing for Ben Ali to go. He presided over a country of about 10 million people, relatively strong, not all that influential. But if these people succeed in pushing Mubarak from power, it will rock the Middle East.
What would happen next, Steve, if they succeed in pushing Mubarak from power? Who would take power?
Well, that's the big question. You know, it is more than likely that the military establishment is going to step in here and prevent this situation from becoming complete chaos or more chaotic than it is now. They have often warned against threats to social cohesion, and this is exactly what they're talking about. And there's precedent for it. They did it in 1977, and they did it once again in 1986. So the expectation is, as the night wears on in Cairo, is that you'll probably see greater deployments of actual military force and the Republican Guard. Whether they have struck a deal with Mubarak to save the regime at his expense or not is anybody's guess at the moment. But it is. This is really unprecedented, the size and scale. What I was involved in on Tuesday night is just far smaller. I can't even begin to describe mm-hmm. the difference in what we're seeing now and how quickly we have gotten to this point in comparison to 48 hours ago.
Blake, you said that the United States is really behind the curve on these stories. The last I heard was President Obama yesterday urging both sides not to use violence. What are his options this morning?
Well, you didn't mention that Joe Biden said that Hosni Mubarak is not a dictator, which just sort of strains credulity to the breaking point. It seems like not everyone is on the talking points. But President Obama really needs to, I think, not just say something and put down a strong marker, not urging both sides to avoid violence, but he really needs to condemn, I think, the violence being perpetrated by the Egyptian government, because every Arab in the world is watching what's going on in Al Jazeera right now. And there are going to be enormous consequences if the United States is not being seen as on the right side of history here.
Do you agree with that, Stephen?
I couldn't agree more with that statement. Again, it was very little that people cared about in Egypt the last few days other than ousting Mubarak. The United States didn't factor into it. It was about Mubarak and about freedom and the fact that every Arab in the world, as Blake said, is watching this right now. It's critical for the United States to say the right thing here, and thus far, it hasn't done it.
I mentioned that dramatic report earlier of several policemen stripping off their uniforms and badges and joining the demonstrators. Blake, is there any reason to think that those are more than just a few good apples, but indicative of something like, I guess you could say something like has happened in Tunisia, where the military has decided to back the protests rather than back the old regime? Is there any chance of something like that happening in Egypt?
You know, there's certainly a chance of that. I mean, I think we have to assume a basic level of humanity among these people that are being ordered to crack down on their fellow citizens. But I would caution that the Egyptian military has a lot more skin in the current regime than the Tunisian military did. The Egyptian military and people associated with the Egyptian military have vast interests in the economy and in the current ruling order. So they have a lot more to protect. I would expect at some point they might throw Hosni Mubarak under the bus to protect their own interests, but we'll see if that's enough to keep the streets calm.
I want to alert listeners to the fact that you can continue to follow events in Egypt, among other ways you may be doing it, by going to our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. We're going to finish up here on the air in a couple of minutes. But we are featuring now on It's a Free Country a Twitter stream that's tracking the conversation on this. Plus, we have coverage from Al Jazeera English, which is probably the news organization that is covering it the most closely, also on itsafreecountry.org. So we have at least those two elements that you can see there as you follow it elsewhere. And looking at television, Blake, the image right now, of course, it's Friday evening in Egypt, and protesters stopping and kneeling and praying at the point of a Muslim call to prayer, even as gunfire is going off in the background.
It's incredibly moving, and I think it's something that the Egyptian regime is going to have a hard time cracking down on. You know, the image of, you know, shooting peaceful protesters praying in the streets would be unfathomable. The effect of that would be unfathomable across the Arab world, and I don't think the regime is—they're pretty stupid, but I don't think they're stupid enough to do that.
And we're hearing that Secretary of State Clinton will speak shortly. Stephen, what can she say? What should she say?
Well, as Blake pointed out, we've been hopelessly behind the curve here. The Secretary of State saying yesterday or the day before, I can't get the time straight since I got back from Cairo last night, but saying that the time for reform is now, that was irrelevant and, as I said, behind the curve here. They need to make a very strong statement, and although I'm glad to hear that it's the Secretary of State, I would hope that it's the President of the United States to stand up and say that this is unacceptable. This is will have a massive impact on U.S.-Egyptian relations. Should President Mubarak manage to hang on, that shooting protesters in the streets who are doing nothing but demanding freedom and democratic change runs against every value and that we as Americans hold dear. We've been playing around with this regime for far too many years, and their protestations about reform, while at the same time they were closing down the political space. Now time for the United States to make a fresh break.
Well, events in Cairo right now, unimaginable even a few days ago, even to Stephen Cook from the Council on Foreign Relations, who was there just a few days ago. Stephen, thank you for joining us. And Blake Hounshell, Managing Editor of Foreign Policy, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Brian.
Again, you can continue to follow related Twitter streams, and we have Al Jazeera English coverage up on itsafreecountry.org. More from NPR News coming up in just a minute. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'm Brian Lehrer.